Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Vanderpump Villa has first-class luxury and world-class drama. Vanderpump Villa, a new reality show starring Lisa Vanderpump, just launched on Hulu. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside.
Meet the elite staff as they work, live, and play together 24/7 while dealing with rivalry, romance, and misadventures. As they try to provide once-in-a-lifetime experiences for their guests, the staff will need to meet Lisa's high standards. Not everyone has what it takes.
Watch new episodes of Vanderpump Villa every Monday, now on Hulu.
Boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-da-boo-boy.
You are just a boo-da-lots for sure. And then...
We're just in a boodle boodle world.
I'll never let you go, my son.
We were just talking about like the songs we sing to our respective dogs. I sing Mango, I go, he's the best kitties in the world. He's a best kitties.
Oh, and I really go there with Tones. Tony gets a lot of sing time. He gets a lot of unique voice.
But they respond to it.
Yeah, he loves it.
We need to talk about Men.
We absolutely do.
Men, Alex Garland's new sci-fi body horror folk thing. What's her name? Jesse
Buckley.
Jesse Buckley and Rory.
Rory Kinnear.
Yeah.
Is he Greg Kinnear? Any relation?
No.
Okay,
he's
cool.
Like
just another Kinnear who's doing the damn thing.
He's good.
Yeah. No, love him. Okay. I loved Men.
Okay.
Loved it. It really hit my like mother nerve. And I'm into this emerging genre of movie where the central theme is men just want to destroy women. And here's how they do it over and over and over. And I'm also obsessed that men are the directors behind this thing. It's like very fascinating to me. Mm-hmm. And I love just like a disgusting, visceral
body horror
moment. Yeah. It had like Cronenbergian body horror elements. It had a beautiful country house in the English countryside. Amazing music, full frontal male nudity, and just like birth, lots of birth.
Vagina envy.
Yeah. And I thought it was cool.
Yeah. I liked it up until a point. I think I was also affected by the people around us at the theater. We were in a very noisy...
It brought out the worst of the worst of people's behavior. Specifically, I noted amongst the gay men in the theater who got incredibly vocal by the end.
Really?
Yeah. There was one where he was like, I saw it at the Sunset Five.
Okay.
And there was like a group of gays in front of me. And one of them was like, oh, no, oh my God. And then it ended and he goes, thank fucking God. And I was just like, honey, can you zip it until we've left the theater and then you can like go off and do your thing? But I was like, this is very classically men vibes that you're acting this way.
Well, we were at the Century City AMC, which always attracts a bunch of
It's a West Side kiddo mall crowd, but it also is perhaps the only great AMC theater.
Yeah, it's really good. But we were seated all the way in the back to the end, and it was like felt really safe, just the wall behind us kind of perched. And then it was a pretty empty theater, and then slowly, right as the movie was about to start, like during the previews, just filled the fuck up.
Mm-hmm.
People in our row. The noisiest, these two women sitting next to me somehow were so noisy in their creaky seats and with their straw. Somehow, like, it was just enhanced. And then there was a whole row of straight guys that were probably 25 in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
One of them was literally reading the Wikipedia for men.
During men. Honey.
And I was like, I mean, I was kind of like iconic, but also like, what are you doing?
Give it a beat.
And then the guy next to him, anytime there was male frontal nudity, he would go, like complete panic, gay panic, like just complete, like, oh my, like he was just, he could not handle male cock.
It made men
squirm. And I was just like, haven't you ever seen a floppy dick in the, you know, broad daylight? But I was just like, typical, like straight men cannot handle the minute there's an ounce of like dick on screen, they just go, ah! Oh, that's so funny. Oh, and it just really like and then the phone screen, the it kind of just like added to this like chorus of annoyance. So then by the end of it, when like
spoiler alert,
there was just like male birth upon Russian nesting doll, just like male pussies, like true bussies.
Bussies were plentiful in men. Bussies, back pussies, mouth pussies,
mussies,
bousies.
But I was just kind of like, I think if it had been maybe a different vibe, I would have stayed through the whole thing. But I just kind of turned to Simon and I was like, do you want to go? And he was like, yeah.
You'd had it quite enough.
But I liked it. I liked it. It felt kind of like Hellraiser. And I loved, like, it was very spooky. I loved, like, the build-up, the tension. I loved the atmosphere. I love Jessie Buckley. I love that her friend, she was in Her Smell and Glow.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
She was, like, the wolf girl.
Yeah. I thought she looked familiar, but I couldn't place where she was from.
And I'm an Alex Garland head. Mm-hmm. I love 28 Days Later. He wrote that. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Sick.
This is his first movie that he wrote.
Sunshine. I love Her Smell.
I loved Annihilation. Debs. Mm-hmm. He has this new movie coming out called Civil War.
Debs. Is Debs coming back or did they say nunca?
They were like, this is really original and innovative, so let's not do it.
Unfortunately, it was too, what do you say?
Good.
Oh, good. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So no more.
And he's directing a new movie with Kirsten Dunst called Civil War about a near future Civil War in America, which literally makes me want to come.
I love, thank God.
I'm literally like, I'm like having an orgasm when I hear when I just saw the deadline. I was like, like I birthed.
All I need.
My mussy birthed out like another.
A Kirsten Dunst.
My mussy birthed out like a small CGI carry, an uncanny CGI carry. But anyway, but I appreciate the movie, but I just was not in the space for it. And I didn't leave for like being like, I hate this. I just couldn't handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's okay. But I support my girl, Jessie, support my boy, Alex.
Mm-hmm.
Rory Kinnear was in the show Years and Years, which is so fucking good.
Oh yeah, he was. And that was such a good show.
And kudos to him for playing all those fucking roles. Another spoiler alert. Really differently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was some stuff where I was like, what?
What the fuck?
What is going on? But what is he trying to do here or say? But then I had a moment to think on it. And then I had a moment to like go on Reddit. So I think a couple things. I think it's saying that like all men are motivated by wanting love from women, or there's like an inherent, there's an inherent need that men have from women because they are of women. Like they, the act of like, men can't exist without being given birth to.
Mm-hmm.
And that creates this like love and this need, and this like symbiotic relationship. But at the same time, there's also a fragility and like an ego fragility that's inherent in that, because men are told like they can do everything, they get everything, like life is much easier if you're a man. But at the same time, like they can't give birth. They, and like that creates like an ego deficit.
Mm.
So they both like crave love and attention. And then if they can't get it or are raised to subscribe to like toxic masculinity vibes, then it just creates another self-fulfilling prophecy or birth that gets passed down and down and down.
Yeah, I got, I think I got the like inherited toxic
traits. But then the, I think also the birth is representative of like, you can't have one without the other. You know what I mean? And those go hand in hand. And for them to work well, they have to be like,
yeah,
they have to be in flow with each other. And when they're out of flow, there's like an imbalance.
Yeah.
And then shit goes down.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of took it as like male reverence and like hatred of like the literal like vagina.
Mm-hmm.
And I think specifically like straight men having this like carnal, there's like maybe what I got from the movie was like almost like, as like you said, like we're not able to give birth, so we hate women for that, kind of, because we, all men want to do is like replicate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like,
or just have, it's like the one thing that they don't have,
right?
That's, and the one thing that they can't do. So it's like there's a lot of envy and like a lot of disgust and also
distrust.
And I think like the power dynamics just of nature are such that like feminine power is the power of creation, and in nature there's just so much femininity and so much power, and women are like, I think, more powerful than men in a lot of ways. Like,
I agree.
And have like a higher pain tolerance, and their brains work faster. And like,
yeah, I agree.
And, but I think that when, then this goes back to like the dawn of time, communities either recognize that and have reverence for it, or it's like they recognize it as dangerous and need to do anything to keep it down. So yeah. This is like exploring the ways in which men keep women down, whether it's like they prevent them from having independence, they are like sexually dangerous with them,
or
they blame them for their own actions and like keep women in a place of just being subservient and not having any power in a relationship.
Or in like the case of her husband, like he'd rather kind of kill himself to like imprison her, sort of, in like guilt and like the things, the places men will go to make a woman feel trapped, I think, is like, was also what I got from it. Like,
mm-hmm.
whether it was an accident or he killed himself, like it was kind of the most selfish thing he could have done, because it will forever sort of bind her to him and like subjugate her in a way, which was really so sinister. And like, he was actually, to me, the scarier character than the Green Man.
He was like,
he's, and great also, too. He I was think... in I May Destroy You. He was the gay friend.
Oh, yeah.
He's really love hot him. And great. Mm-hmm.
He, I think also it's like there's this lack of being able to take personal responsibility for your own feelings and like actions, which was repeated, like a theme that was repeated over and over, when he's like, I'm going to kill myself like because of you. And then the vicar, who was like, all I do is like think about you because like you're all I can think about, and like making his sexual obsessions with people like a woman's problem just because they simply like exist and have like breasts and a pussy.
Yeah. I mean, I liked, and I did love her like ambivalence and being like just repeatedly like turning them down. Mm-hmm. I like that was cool.
You missed probably the final, like
when her friend comes. I read the Wikipedia.
Okay, but the guy births like the actual her ex husband.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the final birth. He like kind of births through his mouth the ex husband, who's also naked, more full frontal. Damn. We love to see it. And then they like sit together on the couch, and she's like, "What do you want from me?" And he's like, "I just want you to love me." And then she kind of like is holding a little axe, and you see her kind of relax and like stroke the axe. And I think she ends up killing him and decides like, I'm not doing this anymore, or like literally cutting ties with him.
And then her friend comes and she's kind of like.
And her friend comes and she's like happy, and there's blood everywhere. So I think it like all really happened, and she's like transformed.
I do love the Green Man. Because it's like Celtic, pagan. So it's like my ancestors.
Yeah.
But no, I agree with you. And I think not just straight men, but also gay men have like, I just think men in general just have like inherent distrust and like rage against the pussy.
A lot of, and even gay men. Like,
oh, no,
I've
I
had
know. Gay
lots
men are
of gay, I've had like gay
misogynist.
Men in my life be like, talk really badly about pussies, or like, yeah, say like how to say, and I've had to be like, you can't say that, like, or just like don't say that in front of me.
No, I never trust a gay who like is like
vaginas are disgusting,
vag,
like, blah, 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 blah. Yeah,
I'm like, what, like, first of all
you like never have to see one if you don't want to.
Yeah, and second of all
you came out of one
and like,
or like you were spent a lot of time close to one. You originated in like the reproductive system.
Yeah, or you've tried to like one, you know, like,
yeah,
like
it just wasn't for you and your mat. I think it's probably like a lot more of like a velvet rage of like,
I agree,
resentment against not being able to like conform to what was,
yeah,
at that time more like the universally standard form,
I mean,
of sexuality.
Gay misogyny is a whole other
can
like
of worms.
War.
I think was also a little bit like explored in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the little kid that wore the mask was gay.
Yeah, or he was like repressed and like, yeah, he was sort of like fielding off like, I mean, that woman's mask, the crow thing, like that was fucking weird.
Did he fuck that crow?
No, I think he was just moving it to look like it was getting fucked.
Oh, okay. I was like, are you fingering that crow, a little sicko? No. Okay, good.
But yeah, it was good. I mean, anytime there's a nude man standing in broad daylight, it's like,
you
it's
better
over.
Watch.
It's like
fuck
it follows.
Out. Mm-hmm. It did was.
You, did you see the trailer for Micah Monroe's new movie, Watcher?
I didn't, but I think I've seen that or knew that she was in one.
Looks terrifying.
Okay, cool. I fucking love her.
Me too.
My scream queen.
But yeah, I mean, I'm still like, I'm all in for Alex Garland.
Yeah, I want more.
He didn't do this thing in his movies, which I've started to notice a trend of, and I'm a little like, all his movies have a girl wearing a t-shirt and underwear and nothing else. Like a skinny tall girl,
mm-hmm,
with spindly little legs, and like he loves like a girl wearing like a wife beater and like panties.
He loves a girl, like a skinny girl in the morning, just waking up
with like bob hair.
Mm-hmm. Short-haired queens he trades exclusively in.
He really does, doesn't he?
He loves, and Jessie Buckley is the queen of the bob.
But that other, who's that woman that was in Devs and Annihilation, mm-hmm, and Ex Machina?
Yeah, she,
what's her name? I forgot. But she's always like rocking like a 90s mom bob,
mm-hmm,
and wearing no pants and a tee. And I'm like, this is like some kind of fetish.
He's kind of shaped my bedtime look, because my bedtime look is no pants, like a high-waisted underwear and a t-shirt.
So that's, I thought like that was, I was like, this feels like what a straight man thinks like a cool girl wears to bed.
Well, he's not so wrong, but we're not all 115 pounds soaking wet.
With little perky little
with
tits.
With little tits that are perfectly proportioned to our rail thin
clavicle
bodies. Yeah, but yeah, I want to fucking stay in that house.
I don't. It scared me.
I do. Now she like, the men are gone.
Mm-hmm. I loved her friend being like, I'll just come.
Mm-hmm. It was real friend vibes. They did like good FaceTime acting.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was into it.
The walking around in the beginning scared me when she has her like Grimes moment in the tunnel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was cool. And I love like her. I love a woman just like having a solo nature moment.
Yeah.
Being on a walk and then having like the rain and then you're just exhilarated. I was like, I've fully been there. But women also need to take off and like be alone sometimes and then get one with nature vibes. But and also, cry under a tree while the lightning and thunder happens.
But also it feels true that like a woman can't even enjoy like a vibe in the nature without like feeling...
without like some naked freak.
Not being menaced by a screaming banshee.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's like... life is very menacing towards women.
I know.
And like it is, there's like constant vigilance involved.
Yeah, you have to always worry about like being killed.
Yeah, you just have to be like...
or just like not that, maybe not that dramatic, but like...
but you're just like...
but just, you have to always keep an eye out.
Like if I'm walking Tony late at night and I just see another like man, my awareness is always like... there's a man, like, who is it? Do I recognize this person? Do I not? Like,
yeah.
And there, it's just, you're always kind of in the back of your mind, like, clocking that kind of thing.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. I mean, I get worried walking around Hollywood at night, but, like, I'm also 6'3 and a dude, so, mm-hmm. like, I don't think people... I mean, I've had moments of, like, fearing being gay bashed, but, like, I think normally I'm privileged in that way.
Yeah.
So, like, I can't imagine the, like, female radar going off and... you know, kind of all times.
Mm-hmm. Or just being aware of your surroundings.
Yeah. I'm not trying
to
make it
sound... it's just like awareness of your surroundings. And it's obviously a sliding scale for some people more than others.
No, and I'm not trying to like make it sound terrible or like...
no, I don't think you are.
I'm just like, I just respect like, yeah. And I will say to all the gays listening, we don't have time for misogyny in our community. No, we don't. I'm serious. It's a real issue. It is. It's the fear of femme in the gay community, and it really makes me... it's, like, very upsetting. And I've had to, like, unpack my own misogyny.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, being on Grindr and having a guy being like, can I hear your voice before I...
ooh,
fuck you?
Damn.
Like,
yeah.
That's... not always... that never... I always, like... and I never try to get preachy when I use Grindr, but I'd always be like, that sucks that you just asked me that.
Yeah. I don't love that. The gays have their own, like, whole other world outside of even misogyny and, like, terrorizing women, which they definitely do on, like, a regular basis.
But that's also being, like, we're just adhering to the, like, straight patriarchy.
Yeah. Or just, like, societal norms.
Yeah.
Which I do think are shifting somewhat.
Oh, I agree.
But also...
There's a war on women right now.
Yeah. And that's just, like...
that's crazy. Understatement of the
like
year.
Truly Oklahoma.
Oh, I know.
I know. I was like, honey, I guess I was never rooting. I want to be like, we were rooting for you, because we're never rooting for you, really, because you've always been kind of fucked up. But like, damn, bitch.
They're that bitch.
They are that bitch.
That was crazy.
You better have protected sex or else. You're going to Texas, but probably not. You're going to like Colorado.
But probably not soon.
But probably not. You can come to California and we'll pay way more taxes for you to get aborted.
It's worth it.
It's wild out there, but I love... it made me want to rewatch Mother. I love... but this was even, I think, going one step...
Stop.
Enough. That's enough.
He's a man.
He's toxic masculinity vibes. My favorite is whenever I like come home and I know that he's like furious.
I know.
It feels very like coming home to my abusive husband LARPing.
Mango was furious with us last night. We were gone for literally 2 hours and we literally left Made in Manhattan on for him while we went to go see Men.
Maybe he doesn't like rom-coms.
When we came back, he was giving me...
he goes, I do not take kindly to J-Lo's acting.
He was very upset.
He goes, next time try Selena. Because she is good in that.
That's her best role.
Yeah.
Or Out of Sight.
Mm-hmm. Maybe, yeah, maybe you need to try a different genre with him.
Or Jack. Remember Jack?
Was she in Jack?
Yeah. She was the teacher.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew? What can't she do?
Who can't she do? I need to also talk about The Wilds. I finished both seasons.
Oh, nice. Yeah, your new favorite show.
It's a really... I mean, season one is pretty much completely without male.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just... It's sort of like Yellow Jackets, but just very different.
Tight.
And I think you would really appreciate it because it does have like Cascade vibes.
Okay, cool. I'll check that out.
Season two, not as good, I don't think, but it's still really interesting. And it doesn't really matter because the main girl group is so compelling to watch. And they're such good actors. And they really feel like they love each other. And it's like dysfunctional sisters that it's worth any like floppy vibes.
Mm-hmm.
So
cool.
Yeah. It's on Amazon Dole.
It's on Amazon Dole. Check it out.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered showerhead comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique three-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Oh my God, I have some tea. Speaking of the Doles. So I was out this weekend. I met this Australian couple straight from Sydney Dole. And obviously we got to chatting and I brought up Byron Bays because I want to know the tea from Ground Zero, aka Australia. And apparently the goss is that the whole time on production, the cast was incredibly high on ketamine.
No.
Yes.
So we were...
Our
instincts were kind of...
Did we say that?
Yeah. I think we said, like, Elle is on ketamine.
Well, they were tootin' K, I'll just say. Which just seems like a wild thing to do if you're just filming a reality TV. Like, you couldn't catch me doing that were I filming my reality show.
Well, also your first time on TV.
It's yeah, not like, but that's Australians like do it differently, Dole.
That's like season four vibes when you're already like, I can do whatever I want.
I don't think I could ever do ketamine and then expect to be filmed and like have it go well.
Like all of them?
I guess. Let's take this with a grain of salt, because like it is just like,
no, I mean, I believe it,
but like I love that
Hannah. I mean, she was
Hannah. Yeah, I mean, I do feel like she sought treatment like mid show for her, and like, I don't know, I've never gotten like aggressive on ketamine, but
Elias,
yeah, and Simba, and I bet Simba loves K.
They were K-holing.
Mm-hmm.
They were swirling.
The girls were in a K-hole.
Well, I
allegedly.
I was in an alleged K-hole.
Watching
the girls.
Come here.
Sarah was probably in a K-hole.
Yeah, or maybe she wasn't, and that's why she was so annoying.
Or that's why she was just not accepted into their...
Because they were like, we don't trust you. You scare us, because we're all fucking high off our... tits off Kai,
and you literally have like a raven over your head.
And I got the goss on the Gold Coast, and everyone does hate the Gold Coast. It's really trashy, and the word was that everyone in the Gold Coast wants to get out of the Gold Coast except for Gold Coast lovers. So all the rumors are true.
Well, this is all leading into like, we need to tour in Sydney.
Down under tour. Mm-hmm. We've got a touchdown in Sydney, doll.
We do. And we
should play the Sydney Opera House?
We should play the Sydney Opera House. I also just wanted to address the waves we made on TikTok with our Rebel Wilson TikTok. The Aussies were coming for us.
But it seems to be...
half and half.
It seems to be a divided crowd. Like,
I want to apologize first for saying, for incorrectly assuming that Tasmania was its own country. I wanted to apologize to everyone.
That
from Australia.
Seemed to be a real issue for people.
I need to just formally address my ignorance as an American and acknowledge that I did not take the time to actually consider that Tasmania was part of
Australia. I thought that it was, but then you said it with such confidence that I was like, oh, I guess he knows. You mend me in that moment.
I did.
I was like, in my mind, I'm pretty sure that's just part of Australia. But then you were like so confident. I was like, I'm not going to. You mansplained Tasmania.
Spoken like a true man. And I'm sorry to all the dolls out there. And I hope you can forgive me and welcome me into your open arms to the coast.
It was like, there were four points of view about that video. One was Tasmania's in Australia.
And where I'm a dumb fucking idiot.
One was, I love Rebel Wilson. I think she's hilarious. One was like, we don't claim Hadol. She's all yours. And the other one was like, you two are, I'd kill myself if I had to listen to you and meet you two. Which was like, whoa.
My favorite was a guy literally saying, if I had to watch you guys talk in person, I would shoot myself in front of you.
I said, that sounds like a you problem, not a us problem.
I said, wow, that would be traumatizing for us, doll.
Yeah, but so I don't let those types of comments live on my socials, doll. But I will allow rebel love. I mean, I don't care.
No, doll. And I understand the sentiments that the American capitalist Hollywood system is responsible for turning her into whatever she's become. But I just first and foremost would like to take responsibility for
Tasmania.
For the Tasmania America tensions.
The misinformation about Tasmania.
To mansplaining and my campaign of disinformation. And I apologize, and I hope the Aussies can forgive me and the dolls will welcome me with open arms.
I'm going to apologize for not correcting you. Not trusting myself in that moment.
I apologize to you, doll, for mansplaining and for making you feel doubtful.
Making me believe that Tasmania was an island off the coast of Australia that was a totally different country, doll.
Doll, I'm sorry, and shame on me, doll.
Mm-hmm. Shame, shame for shame.
Speaking of shame... I'm
and
Carrie.
Speaking of men terrorizing women, I'm Lara,
and you're listening to
Sexy Unique Podcast.
Midwives!
You know what was actually great in Men, too, which I appreciated, is there was Kitchen Island drama.
Oh, She was an island gal.
She got pushed to a place of island gal, and
they were island guys too.
Yeah, there was a lot of drama that focused around a kitchen island at one point, and I was like, I feel seen by this scene.
The scariest scene was when the guy's just charging through the hedges towards her.
Yeah, turning the lights on and off.
Just screaming. Remember when he's like,
"Oh yeah," and I did not like that little mullet man.
No.
Who is the scariest person to you? The scariest man.
The cop.
Yeah, that freaked me out too. I think the naked man was the scariest one.
Him like reaching through the mail slot was like very terrifying.
I screamed.
Or just him like looking in the...
Him just standing there, I go, oh my God.
Well, I was also confused, like, who is that lady cop? Was she not like, why are all these guys the same?
Unclear. Another question.
Were they all actually the same, or they just in her head?
I don't know.
I was like, where are all the ladies in this town?
Yeah, what was that lady cop?
Yeah, was she also like men?
I need to revisit and like watch again.
Was the town of Coxton like
Coxton?
A fully male?
One man.
Wicker Man vibes.
Fucking reproducing. Was Wicker Man doll?
This episode is called Of Dogs and Men. It's the penultimate episode, I believe. Or there's two more after this.
There's three more.
Well, not counting the reunion doll. There's two more.
Okay. This was another...
Don't trust me, though.
There's 19 total.
Okay, doll.
And this was, I think, 16.
Damn. Wow, this is a long season.
I know. This was another, episode of just people talking to people about other people, but at least there were dogs involved.
It was a snooze. Mm-hmm. Drita has named her dog Lucky Santangelo.
Lucky Santangelo. I love that. Her pooch, she truly bought a tiny poodle. That's what I call Tony all the time, is my little poodle.
I hated this episode. I'm actually bummed that we're recapping it. I don't really want to talk about it.
Well, we're going to talk about it.
Can we talk about other stuff and just call it midwives?
We have a bonus to record, so let's like not blow our bonal load.
All right, Dole.
Drita's new dog, Lucky Santangelo, is a true baby.
Runs the house.
It's the tiniest poodle I've ever seen.
She's one of the Russian duchesses, like Anastasia.
Lee calls her.
Asking for money.
She goes, need anything? And he goes, yeah, I need money. I was like, great.
Oh, by the way, the staircase, jail, we'll talk about it in the bonus.
Mm-hmm.
I had the question, how much money do we think Lee and Drita have stashed in cash?
Probably a lot, because her house is nice.
Like $5 million? I'm sure they have like literal in hundreds.
Hundreds of millions?
No, like in $100 bills stashed.
Like in a storage unit. Maybe. I'm like, how is she paying for her life?
No, I know. That's why I'm like, I swear they have like liquid.
Because she has a nice house.
Nice car.
She has a nice car. She has like expensive hair and like jewelry and a lot of watches.
She doesn't work.
Yeah, she's a full-time mom. So it seems, I guess she is making money off of mob wives, but probably negligible amount until like it gets really big.
She reveals in part of her continued like sexual foreplay, she reveals that she's going to start dating.
Mm-hmm.
And Lee goes, oh, well.
He goes, great.
Great.
She goes, I dropped a verse on a remix and they loved it.
Well, first she goes, I'm going to be dating. And he goes, okay, good. And she goes, well, the fact that you'd be nice about it makes me not want to do it. And I'm like,
exactly.
You are being right men, girl. You are being mothered right now.
And then she says that he was really supportive of her like side hustles and careers. Like he told her, you got to rap, you got to model, and loved when she did that. So I was like, okay, that's cool.
They're like best friends.
I love that for them. And I love a mob wife with a dog. That elevates the shit for me. And I see myself reflected in them.
I just want to smell their homes because I know they smell like cigs and like nice candles.
Mm-hmm.
It just smells like my nice late aunt's house.
TBD and the niceness of the candles. Well, we all know Renee is a Yankee queen.
But it smells good at least.
It's like a cinnamon vibe.
Yeah.
A tiny little pointy poodle is my soft spot.
Karen and Ramona head to a deli.
They're going to the market because Karen has to run it past Ramona about Drita. I'm like, you actually don't.
All while they're talking, there's a butcher in the background who's like kind of naked man standing in front of the shed
vibes. Staring at them.
Yeah.
Karen starts to, they sit down and Karen's like, I'm thinking about apologizing or talking to Drita. And Ramona just goes, no, sorry.
End of story.
She's not having it.
Of course.
She goes, you'll never get that girl to admit what she really is, because if she did, you'd put her out with the trash because she's trash.
She also goes, she's from a different breed. And I'm like, you're Albanian racist.
They're racist against Drita, and it's now Italians versus Albanians.
It is. She's mm-hmm. like Italian. What is that?
This is white on white violence.
It is. But she's like Italian elitist.
Yeah. Which I mean, I feel like many Italians are like this with like someone who's not Italian who gets into the mix, but I'm also like, you're fucking jealous haters.
Don't
like,
come for the Albanians.
I would never. Albanians, like,
never
seem like the most savage.
Oh, they will like rip your throat out and tie it in a bow around your forehead.
That's like Eastern European.
Yeah.
Like
Slavic.
The more Eastern you go into like Slavic territory,
you're going to be Mortal Kombat-ed.
You'll get sliced and diced Freddy Krueger style. Your body will be sliced into ribbons.
No, you will get like your spine ripped out like Daphne.
Yeah, like they're not fucking around. Kala and Ange go to the Buddha Lounge and I want to go to the Buddha Lounge.
The Buddha Lounge has a Dunkin' Donuts sign on the same facade. Okay, the Buddha.
It literally is a strip mall.
The Buddha Lounge is also, I think, where Dina and Danielle met in season 2.
The Buddha Lounge features heavily.
Yeah.
On many wives filmed outings. And Ange sits down and she goes, the guy's like, what do you want? She goes, I want a martini. And she smiles. Ange is so happy. And Ange, I love that she's happy.
I know. Joe, the girl called Carla, talks about Joe, her ex, being MIA. And she's sort of like, I don't really know why he's not spending time with us. Big Ange immediately goes, is he dating someone?
She goes, right away, my mind goes to girlfriend.
Psychic.
She knows. She goes, these guys, they're all the same.
They come out of prison and they just want to go right to the girls.
Oh, God, I love her. Dating journey, like I'm still so inspired by her dating journey.
But Carla, like, kind of, she almost, like, her face changes when Ange says it, because she knows it in her heart that it's true.
She knows it's true, and
she's still in love with him.
She's been menned by...
The guy called Joe.
And now she's like, well, I'm going to go and figure out what's what. And I was like, you're falling right into his trap. You're going to look like a fool, and you're going to look very jealous. And then sure enough, she does. And we'll get to that. But I'm just like... Never have I seen women that need to break away from men more than this gaggle of women.
Big Ange and AJ, her son, for his 23rd birthday, head to a literal pawn shop in like a shopping center strip mall.
She's looking like a million bucks. She's rocking a high pony.
A taut high pony to the gods. Her forehead is pushed up.
Cheekbones, forehead, chin, lip.
She walks in smoking a Black and Mild.
My queen. She's like, I'm going to the jewelry store with AJ. Because it's his 23rd birthday. Whatever you want for your 23rd birthday, you can have it.
So he picks out like a cross necklace.
A chain.
And then she goes, okay, now it's about me and my diamonds. She goes, diamonds, diamonds, diamonds. I love my diamonds.
And she's picking out all this jewelry. I was like, also, how does she have like jewelry money?
I think she's just taken care of by... the wise guys.
I think she's taken care of by wise guys, Janine. And I think her bar's probably making a shit ton of money now that she's like on TV.
I swear all these, like Ange again, probably has a storage unit full of cash. Because she in one season buys a giant manor.
Yeah, she's, things are afoot. And she also, I was obsessed, pays in cash.
She puts it down, like a deposit down.
Maybe I'll put a deposit down. She goes, I gotta go cook.
She goes, baby backs, pig knuckles.
And the guy goes, oh, it's a feast. She goes,
yes, it's a feast. Pig knuckles.
She's just marinating, cooking all the parts. Ugh, I would kill.
She loves for
Ange to like cook a massive feast for my birthday.
She wants AJ to settle down. He's like, no, that's not who I am. You know that.
He's only 23.
She goes, maybe I'll have 23 girlfriends.
She goes, no. Have one nice girl. One nice girl.
He goes, maybe I'll wait till I'm 47.
No, too late.
Because she knows that her time is coming. I really believe that she knew.
And she was a grandmother.
Oh, yeah.
She was... so she at least had that experience before she left this realm.
Renee, another glamma.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always like,
I love a glamma.
I love when women, housewives, call themselves glammas.
Mm-hmm.
Renee goes bowling with AJ, her AJ, and his
girlfriend, Sydney. Sweet looking.
Sydney seems normal.
Yeah, and they are still together now. Or maybe they got divorced, but they ended up getting married.
They have a kid. I'm obsessed with Renee just bowling straight gutter balls.
And Sydney.
Yeah. I kind of blacked out in this scene.
Renee just keeps trying to talk to AJ about school because I guess he's like doing really poorly in school and failing out. And
surprise.
Like, he's pretty disrespectful to her.
He is.
And
he's like the kid in Men.
Yeah. He's just like not looking at her, just being disrespectful. Then she tries to like kind of rope Sydney into the conversation, which is inappropriate. But then Sydney goes, well, it's just annoying, like blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh my God, I would never talk to like my boyfriend's mom. Like, yeah. Even when I was a teen, I always was taught to have the utmost reverence for like adults.
No, I would never talk to like Simon's mom like that in a million years.
No.
Karen
goes, it feels like my entire life is coming together. She's in her bordello apartment getting zhuzhed up for David to come.
There's like house music playing, and then David, who's pretty hot,
mm-hmm.
he arrives and she goes, hi David.
She goes, come on in here.
They have their like,
they're being disgusting.
There's
so much sexual tension. She's like, come on in. They sit on her blood red couch and it's just like crickets. They're just sitting there completely silent for like a very awkward period of time, and then Dave goes, time flies, huh? And then they like talk or whatever. I guess Dave was in prison for 10 years and they've been together for 12 years. So basically they've only been together for 2 years and then had a 10-year off period.
I mean, we like forget that Karen's entire family went down for an ecstasy ring.
And did she just get off because she's a woman?
I think they may have taken the fall for her.
That's like the good thing about being a woman is maybe less punishment in incarceration sometimes.
We'll see with Ms. Holmes.
I'm so curious about Ms. Holmes. What's the latest? She's not getting sentenced until like the fall.
I swear she's going to get out of it.
Or get like deferred. I mean,
I really believe she's like not going to go down for that long.
But she was found guilty of a lot of stuff, right?
I know, but I feel like she's really good about, she'll find a way.
How does she have, oh, her husband is an heir or something.
He's a hotelier.
Okay.
Hotel heir.
She's a bitch who knows how to find the money. Let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
That's a skill.
Have you ever experienced a dry, itchy scalp? Or ever wondered why your color isn't lasting as long as your hairdresser promised? Well, unfiltered, mineral-filled water could be the reason why. Did you know hard water is a leading cause of damaged hair and dry, irritated skin? And that about 85% of the United States uses hard water filled with dissolved minerals and added chlorine? That's where Canopy's new filtered shower head comes in. Canopy, known for their beauty hacks and reimagined humidifier, has revolutionized the filtered showerhead. Dermatologists recommended this unique 3-stage filtration system greatly reduces contaminants and odors in your shower water, leaving you with healthy hair and glowing skin. Best of all, the Canopy filtered showerhead is hassle-free. Installation is a breeze, and its unique quick-release filter replacement feature allows for seamless filter replacement, unlike any others on the market. Go to getcanopy.co to save $25 on your Canopy filtered showerhead purchase today with Canopy's hassle-free filter subscription. Even better, our listeners can use the code SEXYUNIQUE at checkout to save an additional 10% off their Canopy purchase. Hurry, your hair and skin will thank you.
Drita goes to the dance factory, and I was excited because I thought we were going to see her taking dance lessons to further her starlet career.
But they just kind of sat there.
She just sits and talks to her friend about Karen and Ramona.
I was like hearing Charlie Brown teach her most of the show.
Yeah. And like, Drita says she's fine to talk to Karen. She wants to like squash the beef and she thinks she can do that without getting mad. But then she goes, everyone knows I have a problem with Lucifer. And I guess that's Ramona. And she goes, I'll chew on a fucking face like a leech. So she's basically like, I can't handle Ramona and I will beat the shit out of her.
Well, Ramona's a hater and she's anti-Albanian.
Yeah. I mean, Ramona is Lucifer, but I'm also like, you need to stop seeking out friends to talk to who encourage you to like beat the shit out of other people.
Well, Karen and Drita both have friends telling them to punch each other.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, this is not helpful. This is not how you would get peace.
Karen's first cousin literally said, beat a face.
Beat a fucking face in.
Karen and Ramona meet up and play pool together, which I was just like lolling for some reason.
Yeah, I was just like, what?
She tells Ramona that Dave put it down. And I just went, oh.
She's giddy like a little schoolgirl because she got dicked down by her baby daddy.
She is dickmatized.
I really like...
And I don't blame her. Cause
I don't blame her either, but there's something about just like her sexual afterglow that really turned me off. But it also ignites the crazy within because later we see the dark side of Karen. And I think she's done a pretty good job of not going totally dark on the show. Like, she comes across very, like... But, I mean...
That scene with Carla in that weird restaurant where she was clearly on, like, blow.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, shaking and being, like, standing up and putting her little hands down the table. She's been pretty dark.
She's dark, but still, like, kind of light. But then we'll get to the scene. Because I was like, wait, what the fuck? I saw, like, ecstasy drug lordess.
Mm-hmm. I was just saying, like, seeing and hearing your parents talk about fucking, like, her daughter must be traumatized. I would literally go up into my room and, like, I don't know what I would do. I would go, like, I'd be, like, the kid in Best in Show who, like, climbs up on the shed and, like, won't come down.
Karen's kind of, like...
She's regressed.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, her husband went down for the... Or yeah. Her baby daddy, Dave, went down for the ecstasy ring and her father.
And her brother.
And a brother. But Karen got to, like...
She got off, but she was clearly dealing.
Yeah.
She was trying... She was testing
the
product.
She was the queen of Arizona.
She was probably... I wonder if she was, like, doling it out at her, like... spa.
Probably.
Oh, by the way, I went to Face Gym again this week.
How was
it? Good. Amazing.
It's so good. They just slap your fucking face around. It's the best.
Joe and the girl called Kala do like a very like 80s.
They go to a place called Retro Fitness.
Very like Bally's in 1988.
I hate the gym. I hate gyms.
Yeah, they're awful.
They're so awful.
I hate them.
I can't do it. I can't set foot in a gym.
No, it's so triggering. I hate...
Like, how do you just work out? How do you just, like, figure out how to work out and, like, do things where other people are doing different things? Like, I don't speak that language.
I mean, I was doing it every day for, like, a year.
I used to do it, like, years and years ago and then discovered classes and have never looked back.
But Carla's, like, a gym rat. Like,
she loves to pump iron.
She loves, like, hanging with, like... either a gal or a guy just like talking shit, lifting weights.
She's cool. She's like prison yard Carla.
But Joe basically, he's like, yeah, I'm dating someone and I really like her. And Carla is miffed.
She goes, I knew it. Some little hussy. She goes, she's probably what, 19? I was like, Carla, you girl, you got to take a breath and take a page out of the men's book and just be like, that's amazing. Like, when can I meet her? Would love to have you guys over for dinner. Like, you have to, like, reverse engineer the situation psychology because you're playing, like, you... And I understand why you would be pissed. I would be pissed, too. But I would try my hardest to play it so cool.
Well, she's... Her big thing is, like, you're not around for the kids, but I'm also like, don't... You also want them around.
Yeah.
But she also, I think, says little pussy at one point.
Oof.
So I was like, ooh.
He says the kids have met her.
Damn.
And then that was like savage.
That's fucked up. I think that's fucked up.
Yeah. I would probably be like, you know, until it's serious. Like, don't just have kids around girlfriends until it's like a serious thing. But
he
maybe
should introduce her to Carla before the kids. So Carla has like a foundation with her and then can be like, suss her out. And then allow, like, that's very inappropriate, I think.
But also, it's classic, like, her being mad about the girlfriend instead of at Joe.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Then the girl called Carla and Jandrita bring the puppies to the park.
I love that Carla got a puppy, too. They're all taking Big Angie's advice now, which is when men disappoint you, get a dog. Get a puppy. Immediately.
They just talk about Joe, and Big Angie goes,
all these guys are the same. They come out of prison, and it's next, next, next.
When Angie and Louie showed up, late, just walking in, and then I love that Ange takes Drita's dog, and she goes, she's so cute. Oh, the cutest dog. She goes, baby Drita. She goes, Drita's dog is her twin.
That's me with Mango. I'm Big Ange.
And Mango's Louie. We are all, whenever we go out and about, we are Big Ange and Louie. If you have a dog, and you walk your dog down the street, you are immediately Big Ange, and your dog is Louie.
When I drive with Mango in the front seat, I literally... I hold him back like that the whole time.
Hmm.
My child.
You should buckle him in.
We have a buckle in Simon's Jeep.
I love. Carla's so mad that Joe has a girlfriend. Defensive. She's talking a million miles a minute. She's like, so what? He's going to get a girlfriend now? He's going to be with his girlfriend, not come around his kids? Like, what? He's going to just hang out with her? Fuck out of here. I was like, girl.
Down bad.
You got to just chill.
Then we cut to Karen and David.
They go to a place called Lair.
Karen says she loves David. I was like...
She's not playing it cool. And all the girls have stopped playing it cool.
That's the theme of the episode.
Yeah, the girlies are no longer cool. They're fucking getting all revved up.
And then Karen begins starting when David reveals he's been dating.
He goes, yeah, I mean, I've been dating a little bit, dating around. She goes, did you fuck a fucking bitch in my bed? I was like...
Well, I'm pretty positive that David's the only guy Karen's been with in, like, the whole time.
Really?
Yeah.
No, Lee. She was with Lee.
No. Like, in the past few years.
Oh.
I don't think Karen's... So I think she's like...
She goes, did you fuck a fucking bitch in my bed? I'll smash your fucking face in. She goes, you got a bitch in my bed? You forgot who you're fucking with. Oh, you forget now. You're forgetting who you're with. And I was like, oh my God. I was like, Karen, you just threatened domestic violence against David.
The father of your child.
She said she would smash his fucking head in.
So then he does what any guy who doesn't really know what to do in that situation. He just plants a big tongue kiss on her. And they have a sloppy...
They're in the middle of like a fuck fest. Like I could smell the sex on them when they walked into Lair. It's disgusting. Because I feel like we've all been there. Like I was having flashbacks to like long weekends with ex-lovers who came to visit or like I came to visit them. And I know what that's like when you're deluding yourself into being like,
this is going to be us somewhere.
Yeah. Like we'll like figure it out. Like I'm just like high off of dick right now and we're going to go to Lair and then we might get in a little fight, but then we might kiss and we're definitely gonna fuck later. And it's just like so gross.
And then he like tongue kisses her and then she literally goes I was like, oh, Karen, oh my God, he's playing you.
Did she say he goes down on her a lot?
I think so.
Yeah, I got that vibe. She has the glow of a woman that's gotten her pussy eaten for hours.
Well, she said that he gave her an orgasm.
Yeah, like
even the way she said it made me like, for some reason it's like with Karen.
Like, I want...
Yeah, I want her to have that.
I want all women to have, like...
Yeah, of course.
...orgasms aplenty, but there's something about, like, seeing this, and I really do think it's, like, I've just seen... It was a reflection of myself in those moments where I'm just like, oh, my God, this is embarrassing.
Renee heads into the city. She goes, my good friend Cherry Martinez is a radio host of a show called Lockdown Love about prison relationships. I was like, okay... Cherry Martinez is literally like a name and a like noir.
It's like a Quentin Tarantino character name.
But Renee is, I'm sorry, she's on cocaine.
She's coked out of her fucking gourd.
She has post-nasal drip like to the high heavens.
She goes off.
Cherry is just like...
Cherry's like, so what's that? What's it been like with your... And she goes, a rat is a rat is a rat is a rat is a rat. What am I going to do? Take him back? No, I hate him. I spit the ground he walks on.
She goes, I don't wish death on everyone, but I wish a million Renees to make his life miserable for the rest of his life. And then Cherry's just like watching kind of wild. And then she goes, okay, well, is there something you could say to women going through the same thing you're going through? And then she gives really unhinged advice.
Yeah, like she goes, just leave him. Leave. I was like, but
not everyone can be in that
position. Yeah, like, what? Like, no. Excuse me? Yeah, Renee was...
She was literally going...
She was, what? I spit on the ground he walks on.
She goes, I spit on the ground that he walks on.
Her cheekbones looked fierce, though.
Oh, yeah, she looks amazing.
Her contour was on fleet.
She has that, like, Coke glow.
Yeah.
Before
she's been getting railed by a different thing than dick white powder in the dome.
I wish she was getting dick down. I think that would help her.
It doesn't. It throws her into more psychosis.
But dick, no, dick from anyone but Pagan.
Yeah, but I don't. But I think, like, the Pagan dick also did her dirty.
Yeah.
Like, she's just a sucker for being high.
And then Drita gets a letter from Lee.
That he's not getting transferred to Brooklyn after all.
He knew. He was just fucking with her.
I don't know. I don't think they know. And I'm literally just basing that off of watching Orange is the New Black. But that was like, they didn't know when they would get transferred. And then you just get, like, transferred around to prisons. But I do think it was fucked up, like, to transfer him further from his family.
I
don't think that that's right.
No, the prison system is evil.
I mean, there's, like, a gajillion things wrong, and that's probably, like, the lowest on the register of what is very brutally wrong with the for-profit prison system, but, like, that's fucked up.
Well, I think they intentionally separate.
Yeah. It's a punishment.
Yeah.
We do have time left, so we can talk about Staircase Prison.
Wow. That was... So, that also, like, just... validates my greatest fear is, like, being in a federal prison
jail.
And, like, getting beaten and raped, like, daily. But Colin Firth in prison, Michael Peterson just doing his thing and, like, conniving his way through, and that really hot guy who helps him.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Had to make it work. Like,
no, I know. I was like, of course he would end up being okay, because he's good at manipulating.
Yeah.
Like, who is that guy? That his friend, the guy who lifts, the janitor guy?
I don't know. He's really hot, though.
Sexy.
Yeah.
It was scary, though.
Why are stamps currency?
I think because you can mail...
You can just mail more letters?
I think it's like a...
Or it's just like, instead of... Like, you can't have money, but you can have stamps. So,
yeah.
Damn. I was like... I never want to go to prison.
Me too. I'm always worried I'm going to go. For like,
why are you worried you're going to go to prison?
For like,
What are you doing to prison for?
Like, whenever I was like filing for unemployment, I'd always be like, oh my God, did I like file for like one extra weekend that I accidentally got mixed up and they're going to send me to like the penitentiary? This is my Catholic guilt. I buried a Sour Patch Kid in the backyard when I was a kid because I stole it. From the supermarket.
One single Sour Patch?
From a tray of candy. I sold one in a big gummy, sour gummy. And I was so guilt-ridden that I went to our backyard and buried it.
Wow.
And then cried to my mom, and we had to call the Acme.
Oh, yeah. And then she told them to tell you that it was okay.
But I was literally in the backyard despairing at age 5, which is like, no 5-year-old should have that much shame and guilt.
I feel like the right move is like, yeah, you stole and stealing is wrong. So, like, let's just go back and apologize to the guy and, like,
I did
move then, on with our lives.
But they were like, it's okay.
I know. And then it co-signed the bad behavior.
Anyway.
I thought for a while when I was in, like, deep, deep tax debt that I didn't know how to get out of, I wanted to just be like, can I just go to prison? And I was also really depressed and, like, having suicidal ideation. So I thought, like, a cool solve would be, like, let me just go to prison for, like,
Laura,
a month. And then, like, you can erase the debt. And, like, I can Airbnb my apartment. And then...
That is why I'm glad you're...
On medication?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was also, like, extreme... The extreme, like, white privilege of that, too.
Completely.
I was like, okay, well, that's not gonna happen, clearly. But I was like, what? I could just, like, walk a track or just, like, read all day and cry in a cell.
You thought you'd be in, like, Teresa's...
I thought I'd be in, like, Linwood or somewhere.
Litchfield?
No, Linwood. The prison that, Lindsay Lohan and Alexis Haynes went to. But I was like, what? Like, I cry all day anyways, like, and just lay in bed. So I might as well just go to prison and do that and, like, read. God, and then
mental illness sucks.
And then, like, be out of debt and then it's fine. I was like, I would even go for, like, 3 to 6 months. Like, just whatever it takes. Like, just do it. I was
do pull-ups.
I was truly in a place of just send me to jail.
Get Sarah Connor ripped.
Mm-hmm. I was like, maybe I'll get ripped. Probably wouldn't. It was like, I would just read or sleep. But it seems that you probably don't get very good quality of sleep. And then Orange is the New Black, like...
That makes it look fun.
That made it look cute and quirky. But then Staircase, I was like, I never want
horrifying.
To go to jail.
But anyway, it just confirms that I believe he's guilty more, just his actions in this episode. And Sophie? Julia Binoche is starting.
She's starting. She's getting menned. I still am an owl theorist. I'm okay. An owlina. We fly, we ride.
We got a whiff of that it's coming.
I know. We're going to get to see the owl scene. And I do think, I really am curious as to where this will land. I think it's going to land in it's neither here nor there. It will be very unresolved and unknown.
Can I just say my MVP so far is Patrick Schwarzenegger?
Yeah, he's killing it.
He's really good at acting. That scene when he wakes up, I was horrified. I was like, oh my God, he killed a girl.
Yeah.
And he had that same panic.
Well, I saw the blood in the back of his head. And then I was like, oh no, he's just like a sad. But and then I watched it after we had cruised Todd's Instagram on the bonus episode. You guys, if you're not a Patreon member, you're really missing out on us doing a extreme wellness check on Todd Peterson.
And it's not good.
Who's
gone down a K-hole, a literal K-hole of white nationalism. And
he's, let's just say, he's in a place of giving city tours in the dark of night. That doesn't tell you all you need to know. You definitely need to subscribe and take a big look with us.
He's not okay. But the kids are not all right.
Patrick Schwarzenegger looks so much like him too.
He's so hot.
Oh,
but yeah, Well, he's got that, like, the Kennedy tragedy, like, the shadow of that on his face, I feel like, in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So I see that, because he's a Kennedy. Do you know that?
Yeah. Was the Shriver, was she a Kennedy?
Yeah.
She's Jackie's daughter?
No. She's Eunice Shriver, who's Eunice Kennedy, was JFK's sister. That's her.
Oh, okay.
So the Shrivers are Eunice.
Lee. No.
Eunice Shriver was Eunice Kennedy. She was Bobby Kennedy, JFK's, and Teddy Kennedy's
sister.
She had Maria Shriver. And they were very close with Jackie. Because the Shrivers are like, Sergeant Shriver, the husband, was like a doctor or something.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
They were really close with Jackie, JFK Jr., and Caroline. So Maria was always hanging with them.
Got it.
This is sick that I know all this.
No, it's a...
It's a boss. It's my mom.
Honey, you gotta know. You know what you know.
But Patrick, Catherine, the other three, they're all full-blown Kennedys. And they look like Kennedys.
Ugh, yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
But he's really great. Margaret, the youngest one, kills me. She's so sad.
She's a kooky girl.
Sophie Turner's really good, too.
Yeah, she's killing it. Everyone's really delivering the goods.
Where's the... Caitlin.
The daughter?
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess she's kind of like... I was hoping we'd get to check back in with the sisters.
I love
those them. Wenches.
Also, just like Tony, just the vibe she conveys every time that we're in a flashback is just like such doom.
She's just so good. I rewatched the scene recently in The Sixth Sense where she and Haley Joel Osment are doing some car acting, and I forgot that she was even in that movie.
She got nominated for an Oscar for that.
Yeah, like she is just an incredible actress. She's like so much naturalism, and...
I remember that scene. She was like this. She told me, I asked her if she was proud of me.
She's so good.
Yeah.
It's just unreal.
Also, he was so good in that movie.
I know. They both were channeling. Two actors doing their thing.
Anyway, can't wait for this fifth Staircase episode. Or sixth.
I keep forgetting that it comes out on Thursdays.
Also, did you know that the woman Parker Posey played died?
When?
Like 3 years ago of liver failure.
Damn.
From her.
She was a big old alky.
Yeah.
Guys, be careful out there. Stop binge drinking.
Guys, tickets for our tour. I did a big blast on my Instagram, which I'm very proud of. It took me an hour to post all the stories. But tickets are selling pretty well now. But get on it because Philly is literally like five away from selling out.
Yeah, Philly has like 10 tickets left or some shit. That's on June 7th at City Winery. Be there. Be fucking square.
Denver, June 3rd at Bluebird Theater.
Denver is June 2nd at the Bluebird Theater.
No, it's June 3rd.
No, honey. It's June 2nd.
We leave on the 2nd.
We leave on the 1st.
No.
Yeah.
Shit. Did I change? I might have to.
Well, Carrie's still discovering when the tour dates are, but Denver is on June 2nd at the Bluebird Theater. Yep. Minneapolis, June 4th at the Cedar Cultural Center. Detroit on June 5th at the Majestic. And then we top it off by just coming home to some fat cheesesteaks in Philly on June 7th at City Winery. Get your tickets now. There are links in the description of the podcast. There's also links in our bio on socials. Follow us on TikTok. Follow us on Instagram. And
ta-ta, doll.
Bye. Sexy Unique Podcast is created and hosted by me, Lara Marie Shane Halls. This episode was co-hosted by the one and only Carrie O'Donnell. This episode was edited by Ness Smith Savadoff. If you like what you heard today, please be sure to subscribe to Sexy Unique Podcast on Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And if you're craving more sup and just can't get enough and want access to things like bonus episodes, tons of premium content, as well as ad-free episodes of the pod, consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. You can find out more at patreon.com/sexyuniquepodcast.